Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Since One Hit Wonder Day is this week, I think it was actually on the 25th, which marks also 3 months till Christmas Day, but I thought I'd talk a little bit about Christmas one-hit wonders. First, what is a one-hit wonder? Well, Wikipedia says one-hit wonders are, quote, any entity that achieves mainstream popularity, often for only one piece of work, and becomes known among the general public solely for that momentary success. They also say, quote, a one-hit wonder is a musical artist who is successful with one hit song, but without a comparable subsequent hit. Term may also be applied to an artist who is remembered for only one hit despite other successes, such as Take On Me by A-ha in the United States, end quote. I have to say, I really don't care for the term one-hit wonder. It's frequently used in a negative way, which I think is completely unnecessary. Creating a song that breaks through and becomes a hit is quite the task, and most singers and bands that record and release their own music never accomplish that. Getting radio airplay or streaming success or any other metric you might use to determine what's a hit and what isn't is like having a social media post or video go viral. It almost never happens, and when it does, it's nearly impossible to replicate. And the criteria for what a one-hit wonder is seems subjective at best, and often the rules aren't the same from one artist to another. Wikipedia's example of A-ha goes a long way to proving my point. While many of us who were around in the 80s remember A-ha's hit Take On Me, they had a follow-up called The Sun Always Shines on TV, which, while not the monster hit that Take On Me was, still made it to number 20 on the charts in the U.S. They continued to have top 10 hits in many countries around the world during the 80s, including their title song from the James Bond movie The Living Daylights. It seems kind of ridiculous to me to refer to a band that had international success with lots of hits in lots of countries could be labeled a one-hit wonder. The truth is, there just aren't many singers or bands that have one singular success and then vanish without a trace. However, that list does get longer if you use the rest of Wikipedia's definition, that an artist is remembered mostly for one particular hit despite other successes. I feel like that's a bit of oversimplification and can make many artists fall into that one-hit wonder category depending on personal tastes. For example, Sinead O'Connor. Most certainly remember her number one song, her cover of Prince's Nothing Compares to You, but her follow-up, The Emperor's New Clothes, was number one in the alternative charts. She also had hits with Success Has Made a Failure of Our Home and You Made Me the Thief of Your Heart. Certainly she's most remembered for the Prince song, but it seems kind of disingenuous to call her a one-hit wonder. Also, Christmas music-wise, she recorded a version of Bob Dylan's I Believe in You for the second very special Christmas collection, and she was part of Band Aid 30's recording of Do They Know It's Christmas in 2014. The other thing with one-hit wonder lists is that sometimes artists are included for having one major hit in a particular format, even if they've had plenty of other hits in another format. A good example of that is Leanne Womack. Her hit, I Hope You Dance, went to number 14 on Billboard's Hot 100 chart, and it hit number 1 on the Adult Contemporary chart, her only major appearance on either of those charts. So some consider her a one-hit wonder. However, she had 6 songs that were top 5 on the country charts, and 15 more that made it into the country's top 40. 21 hits in one format shouldn't get tossed out when that same artist has only one hit in a different format. I could probably spend a lot more time talking about other artists that are called one-hit wonders and explain why I don't believe they really are, but this is a podcast focused on Christmas music, so let's shift to that. There are lots of lists of Christmas one-hit wonders, and they're all pretty short, and many have some, if not all, of the same songs on them. I started to make my own list based on the Sounds of Christmas library. I simply used the criteria that the artist needed to have released only one Christmas song. Their non-Christmas catalog didn't matter. I was curious to see what was out there. I had come up with over 40 songs, and I was only in the D's. So rather than just read a long list of songs, which would have wound up being a really long list of songs, I thought I'd see what the internet had to say. When I Googled Christmas One-Hit Wonders, the first list I came upon was from Radio Fidelity. I'm not picking on them and only using them and their list as an example. Radio Fidelity came up with their list of Christmas One-Hit Wonders saying, quote, to qualify for this title, the tune has to be a singular song from a relatively unheard-of band or artist who hasn't produced any other majorly successful songs before or after their festive song, end quote. Pretty sure none of their choices are relatively unheard of artists. But here's their top six. Number six, Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas? Okay, that's fair. The group of singers and musicians that comprised Band-Aid only released that one song. In later years, there was Band-Aid 2, Band-Aid 20, and Band-Aid 30, and they all had different people involved, but none of those came close to reproducing the hit from that first Band-Aid in 1984. Number five, Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad. This song came from a Christmas album that Jose released in 1970, simply called Jose Feliciano, though it was later retitled Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad was the only original song on that album. While it went to number one in Sweden, the song did not chart in the U.S. In fact, it first showed up on the U.S. Adult Contemporary charts in 1998, almost 30 years after it came out. It was almost another 20 years before it showed up on the Hot 100 chart. In 2020, 50 years after its release, Feliz Navidad gave Jose Feliciano his first top 10 hit since his cover of The Doors' Light My Fire in 1968. Feliz Navidad returned to the charts last year, making it to number 8. His cover of Light My Fire went to number 3. Kind of makes me feel like he's at least a two-hit wonder. By the way, Jose Feliciano has a couple of new Christmas songs on his new album that's due November 4th. Moving on to number 4 on Radio Fidelity's list of Christmas one-hit wonders, new song and the Christmas shoes. The song was number 1 on the Adult Contemporary chart when it came out in 2000. It also hit number 31 on the country chart. It did not make the top 40. New song has only had one other single that reached the Adult Contemporary chart, and that was in 2004 with the song When God Made You. They've released two more Christmas albums since The Christmas Shoes, The Christmas Hope in 2006, and The Best Christmas Ever in 2016. Number 3 on the list, The Waitress's Christmas Wrapping, first released in 1981. The single went gold in the UK but did not chart in the US. In fact, in the early 80s, The Waitresses were probably better known for their single I Know What Boys Like and their theme song to the TV show Square Pegs. They only released two albums and two EPs before breaking up in 1984. Christmas Wrapping actually only started showing up in the charts in recent years. So while The Waitresses might be most remembered for that song, it wasn't the massive hit that some of the others on this list had. I go back and forth on whether they're really a one-hit wonder at all. Number 2, Gayla Peavy, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. The song went to number 24 on the pop chart when it was released in 1953. She was only 10 when she recorded that one. When she was 18, she recorded Robot Man, a Connie Francis song, and that went to number 12, but she recorded it under the name Jamie Horton to put a little distance between herself and the hippopotamus. She's certainly most well known for this song, which continues to get airplay nearly 70 years after it was first released. And Radio Fidelity's pick for the number one Christmas one-hit wonder? Trans-Siberian Orchestra and their entire album, Christmas Eve and Other Stories. I have many questions about this pick. The song, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo 1224, hit number 25 on the charts in 1996 and returned to the Hot 100 the next 2 years. In 1998, it also made its way onto the Rock Tracks chart. By 2016, it had become third on the list of all-time best-selling Christmas holiday digital singles. It was behind Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You and Do You Want to Build a Snowman from Disney's Frozen. I feel like maybe Radio Fidelity meant this particular song and not the entire album, but even if that's the case, it's hard to make the argument that Trans-Siberian Orchestra is a Christmas one-hit wonder, as the song Christmas Canon, which was on their second album, The Christmas Attic, is seventh on the list of all-time best-selling Christmas holiday digital singles. Then there's the album Lost Christmas Eve, which came out in 2004. That featured the instrumental song A Mad Russian's Christmas, which not only became a hit, but was a bit of a phenomenon. Electrical engineer Carson Williams set up a Christmas light show in the front yard, driveway, windows, and roof of his house. It took him over 2 months and 16,000 lights. The lights were synchronized to the music from the song, and the show was free for anybody passing by, and you could listen to it by tuning to a specific low-power FM frequency on your car radio. It also became available to download on iTunes as a music video. Trans-Siberian Orchestra used a still image of that light show as the cover art for the single. Over the course of the next year or two, it exploded as video after video showed up of others synchronizing their Christmas lights to the song. Miller High Life even used the concept in one of their TV commercials. So there are three pretty significant hits from Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which I think disqualifies them from being seriously considered as Christmas one-hit wonders. There are lots of similar lists floating around, and many contain at least some of these songs. There are three other songs that appear on lots of those other lists that Radio Fidelity mentions kind of as a footnote to their list. First, Wham! Last Christmas. Sure, this was a monster hit and continues to be a monster hit nearly 40 years after it was released, but Wham! Had other monster hits, which also continue to get airplay, including Careless Whisper and Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Second, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer by Elmo and Patsy. This song was huge in the 80s when it first came out, which I think was technically in 1979, but it took a couple years to gain popularity. To be honest, I don't know if listeners got tired of it first, or if radio stations did. And without sounding kind of snotty, maybe it was Patsy who got tired of it, as she divorced Elmo and he ended up re-recording the song on his own in 1992. It never made it onto the top 40 on the Hot 100 or on the country chart. And finally, and I'm not making this one up, in fact, I've seen it on many lists, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Sure, it's a worldwide phenomenon and one of the most popular and best-selling Christmas songs year after year. And she may even be best known for this one now. But she's had 18 number one singles besides this song. And her Christmas song, Oh Santa, hit number one on the Adult Contemporary chart in 2010. It was a hit again in 2020 when she recorded a new version with Ariana Grande and Jennifer Hudson. And her Christmas single, The Star, was a hit when it was released in 2017. And just last year, she released the single Fall in Love at Christmas, which was number 24 on the digital sales singles chart and number 5 on the digital R&B hip-hop chart. Lots of hits, several other Christmas songs that were also hits. Hard to believe anybody really considers Mariah a Christmas one-hit wonder. Still, all of these lists are subjective and should be taken with a grain of salt, especially when you see something like this, which was posted at the end of Radio Fidelity's list. Quote, although there are definitely a lot of songs out there, like Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Kitt, which were more famous than other songs by the same artist, we were careful not to include any creator on our list who also had another number one hit outside of the song they released for the festive period. End quote. I don't know who Brenda Kitt is. I'm pretty sure they were somehow confusing Brenda Lee and Eartha Kitt, both of whom could arguably be on a Christmas one-hit wonder list. Radio Fidelity isn't the only website that has compiled their list of Christmas one-hit wonders, of course. A Michigan radio station published a short list of what they considered Christmas one-hit wonders, and their list included Burl Ives and The Carpenters. Now, Burl's versions of A Holly Jolly Christmas and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer continue to show up on the holiday charts year after year, more than 50 years after they were first released. His first Christmas hit was over a decade before those songs were released when he put out the single Grandfather Kringle and The 12 Days of Christmas. Those are two separate songs, by the way, one on each side of the single. That was 1951. His version of The 12 Days of Christmas was popular enough to get re-released in 1962. He released more Christmas singles after that, including his last one, The Night Before Christmas, which came out in 1986. And as far as the Carpenters go, Merry Christmas, Darling was their fifth single, and it was released in 1970. It did not make the charts that year. Santa Claus is Coming to Town was their second Christmas single, which came out in 1974. That didn't make the charts either. Merry Christmas, Darling was reissued in 1990, and it went to number 18 in Ireland and number 25 in the UK. It didn't make the US charts. Their first Christmas album, Christmas Portrait, came out in 1978 and went double platinum. Their second Christmas album, An Old Fashioned Christmas, was released in 1984 after the death of Karen Carpenter, and it went gold. So a double platinum Christmas album and a gold Christmas album. Hard to take it seriously that the Carpenters could be considered a Christmas one-hit wonder. I've also seen more than one music blog include Mannheim Steamroller in this kind of list. Mannheim Steamroller have released many Christmas albums. The first two, released in 1984 and 1988, have each been certified six times platinum. 1995's Christmas in the Air, their third Christmas album, has been certified four times platinum. 2001's Christmas Extraordinaire has been certified three times platinum. They have four other Christmas albums that have each been certified platinum. Now, for those who don't know, when an album is certified platinum, it means it has sold 1 million copies. So just in the albums I mentioned, Mannheim Steamroller has sold 23 million Christmas albums, and that's just in the United States. They also had a number one album in 2003 with their first Halloween album. Two of the albums in their Fresh Air series made it to number two, and a third one made it to number 25. Their album Mannheim Steamroller Meets the Mouse, a collection of Disney-themed songs, was number one in 1999. And their album Romantic Melodies was number one in 2003. It's laughable to me to suggest that they are also considered a one-hit wonder, Christmas or otherwise. Lastly, I was intending to give you my own list of Christmas one-hit wonders, but I kept coming up with reasons, many of which I've already mentioned, as to why certain artists weren't really Christmas one-hit wonders. So instead, I thought I'd run down Billboard's list of the 100 greatest holiday songs of all time, and mention those that I think fit the criteria of at least being the only Christmas song from a particular artist. And for it to have made Billboard's list, it must also have been a pretty big hit on its own. Wham's Last Christmas is number 8 on their list, and it's Wham's only Christmas release, so I'll start there. John Lennon's Happy Christmas, War is Over is number 16, and this was John's only Christmas release, so it fits. Thurl Ravenscroft with You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch is number 22. He was the voice of Tony the Tiger and performed in many Disney animated movies and plenty of other movies. His only other Christmas role seems to have been in Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July, and that was as the voice of the genie with the ice scepter, not a singing performance. The Eagles' Please Come Home for Christmas is number 27 and was the band's only Christmas song. Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas, is number 30, and as mentioned earlier, was this group's only release, period. Jimmy Durante's take on Frosty the Snowman from the animated television special is number 46 on Billboard's list. Some of his earlier singles and albums have been lost, and I'm honestly not sure if he's recorded any other Christmas songs, so this one might need an asterisk pending further review. Donny Hathaway, This Christmas, is number 50. It's his only Christmas release and one of four top 40 singles in a career that lasted just over a decade. Carol of the Bells by David Foster is number 77. While he was involved as a producer of many Christmas albums and many other albums, this release was attributed solely to him as the artist. So it fits on this list, at least for now. It will probably be taken off this list when his EP with Catherine McPhee comes out in another month or so. Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis is number 91 and remains their only Christmas release. And that's it. I'll also freely admit that some of my info could be wrong. Some of the artists I singled out from Billboard's list might have other Christmas releases that I either forgot about or just didn't know about. If you think I've made mistakes or have some suggestions for artists I've missed, please post it to the Sounds of Christmas social media pages and I'll check it out. Thanks so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. Station is still on, by the way, so anytime you need a little Christmas spirit, just head on over to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also find our app in the Google Play Store. And just a reminder, on October 1st, we become the Sounds of Halloween, 31 days of Halloween music, before the new season of the Sounds of Christmas starts on November 1st. As far as this podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites, so if you didn't find us on your favorite one today, just search for the Sounds of Christmas next time you're there, and I'm pretty sure you'll see our tree. Then you can subscribe so you never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episode, the Sounds of Christmas station, or the standard station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.